This morning we invite you back to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to begin reading with verse number 13 as we did last week. And we shall read to the end of the epistle, which is only a few verses. 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 13. John writes, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses. This morning we want to continue on with that of our study here in 1 John. And I would begin, first of all, by saying to you that last week we did indicate that we would finish up the epistle this Sunday. However, it will most likely be, well, it will be next Sunday. So I'm just going to give you a heads up on that idea. The focus text for this morning is verses 14 through 17. Verses 14 through 17. Now, I realize that we covered verses 14 and 15 somewhat last Sunday afternoon. However, as we come on forward with the verses that are before us, I felt that it was good that we go back and that we take another glance at those first two verses along with that of the additional verses which we will cover this morning. Now, John writes there in verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not unto death." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these focus verses. Our subject this morning is intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is acting in the behalf of someone in difficulty or trouble, praying for them and that of their particular situation. As we come to our passage this morning, as I've already said, I know that we've covered the first two verses here, but we want to look at them once again, because as we looked at them last week, we looked at them just on their own. And in these verses, we have the Apostle John giving us some instructions about that of prayer. And they are basically general instructions. As we come forward into that of the next two verses, he then applies those instructions and he applies them to a particular circumstance. And it is not just this particular circumstance that would apply as far as that of intercessory prayer, because there's other reasons why that we would perhaps intercede in the behalf of someone else other than that of the example that he gives us here. This is an example that John gives us here in verses 16 and 17. And we'll look further or closer to those verses in just a few moments. Coming to verses 14 and 15 to begin with, John writes, "And this is the confidence that we have in him." What does John mean here by that of confidence? Well, the word confidence has that of an ideal of boldness. And John here is speaking of that of our relationship. In particular, the relationship has to do with God and our relationship coming before him. For your note, he says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him," or that little phrase "in him" could be translated "towards him" or "before him." Now, coming before him, as we look on further in the verse, it has to do with bringing that of petitions to him. And so the atmosphere, or that of the playground area that we're speaking of here, is that of us coming into the very presence of God to bring that of our petitions. And it's coming before him. Now, he says, we have this confidence, or this boldness. And the idea of boldness here is courage. It has the idea of freedom. And it has to do with that of petitions. Opening up and speaking, asking, making petitions unto the Lord. And this confidence, the basis of it, is that of what John told us back in verse number 13 when he writes, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." What is the basis upon which we can come before God? We can come before his presence and bring that of our petitions? Beloved, the basis is none other than that of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that we have in him. That of his shed blood and that of our acceptance before God in him. That is the only grounds that we have. And as that being the case, we are coming as that of one who is a child, coming before his Father and bringing his or her petitions unto him. You know what he says. This is a confidence. What confidence? That we're saved, that we have the assurance of eternal life. This is the confidence that we have in him, or before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. We have confidence, we have boldness, John says, to come before him, to ask. We have confidence or boldness that if we ask anything, that's pretty wide. Anything. But you know, he doesn't stop there. He puts a condition on it. If we ask anything according or in regard to that of his will, or in reference to his will, he says, he heareth us. Now, what is the will of God? Well, beloved, we have the will of God right here in the Scriptures. And if we pray accordingly to that of the Scriptures, we're praying according to that of the will of God. And in the process, we are being formed. And we are being brought into submission to that will as we pray. We're praying that of His will, and we're praying, Thy will be done. Now, you note here, John says, He heareth us. Now, I gave the example last week in our evening service of that of a couple employees speaking about another employee and saying, you know, so-and-so has the ear of the boss. In other words, the boss listens to him. Well, we say this in reference, beloved, with regards to God and the situation we have before us. But what John is actually saying here is that when we come with boldness before that of our Heavenly Father and we pray according to His will, He heareth us. We have that of His ear. Because we're praying those things that are pleasing in that of His sight. Then John says, and if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Note in this verse we have the word know twice. The word know here speaks of certainty, just as John had spoken of the certainty of the assurance of salvation. Here John speaks of the certainty with regards to that of prayer and prayer being answered. He says, if we know that He heareth us. Well, how do we know that He heareth us? Well, John's already told us. If we pray according to His will, that He heareth us. And John then says, and if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask. Whatsoever we ask, we know. We know with that of a certainty. We know without a shadow of a doubt. What is it that we know? John tells us that we know that He heareth us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We know that we have the petitions. In other words, we have the answer, and the answer is assured. You see, we're praying according to His will. As I mentioned last week, there's that saying, prayer changes things. Well, actually what takes place is it changes us. If we pray according to that of what the Scriptures tells us, it changes us. It brings us into the conformity of that of the will of God. It brings us into the submission of that of the will of God. His will we desire. And when we desire His will, and we pray that His will, then His will, we can be assured. We can be assured that our prayers are going to be answered. So this is a general instruction that John gives, that of his readers. And its instructions concerning prayer and the certainty, how to pray and the certainty of the prayer being answered. As we looked at verse 13, we dealt with that phrase, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We asked the question, what are those things? Well, we went back into that of the various chapters leading up to it to answer that question. But we also told you that John here, that these things that some looked at it as those things that he was about to say. John here is definitely giving us some certainties. These things have I written unto you that you may know. That you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that your prayers are going to be answered if you pray in this manner. But you'll note that John does not stop there. In verses 16 and 17, he continues with that of prayer. And in so doing, he gives that of an application, or that of one that might be a real thing, a real situation. He says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. Here we have a couple of themes that are once again brought before us. The subject of sin, and you'll note that later on, even in the verses further on down, in verse 18, he deals with that of the subject of sin again in that text. Here in these verses, he's dealing with that of sin. He's dealing with that of prayer. He says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. There we have prayer. So we have that of sin and we have that of prayer. And he says, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, he says. He has the theme of sin that is very predominant here in these verses that he's dealing with, because this is what he wants to focus in on as an example with regards to prayer. Now, as we come to these verses, I want us, like we did verse 13, I want to just run down through some questions. Some questions about these two verses. The first question is, what is being spoken of here in that of our text? That's the first question. Who is being spoken of by the phrase, if any man? Who is being spoken of by the word brother? He says, if any man see his brother. What does John mean? Sin a sin which is not unto death. Who is the he? And he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. Who is the he? And he shall give him, or he shall ask. What does he mean by there is a sin unto death? Note what John says here. He says there is a sin not unto death, and there is a sin unto death. What does he mean by that? What does he mean when he says, I do not say he shall pray for it? That is, that sin unto death. Why does he write, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death, in the light of what he has written in verse number 16? You may wonder, what's the use of doing something like this, perhaps, from the pulpit? You may wonder why there's any reason why that you would even ask these questions. But beloved, it is needful that we do ask questions when we come to that of the Scriptures. To be like that of a detective and to ask questions. And as we ask those questions, then come back to the text and then seek to see what is said about them. Now, let us look at the verses here. First of all, he says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask. And he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. That's the first full statement that we have here. If any man see his brother. Well, just by simply looking at that statement there, the implication here is that the one who sees his brother is also a brother. So if any man is that of one who would be a brother. If any man who is a brother sees his brother sin. Now the question is when John writes here, if any man see his brother sin, what does he mean? What does he mean by that of brother? You say, well, Brother Steve, what do you mean? Why are you asking that type of a question? I mean, isn't it evident? All right, we look at each other's here as the children of God. We look at each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, don't we?
Amen.
And then we have then that of not here, but we all most likely have that of a physical sibling that would be a brother or a sister. Amongst those who are the children of God, they look upon each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Is that always true? Is John speaking here with regards to the Christian community that he is writing to? And in so doing, he's writing with regards to them as that of the professing children of God? I believe we can say that that's the case. So what we have here is we have those whom John is writing to. They're ones who have professed that of faith in Jesus Christ. So amongst those who are the professing ones, by profession we look upon them as brethren. Don't we? If any man see his brother, that is a brother as far as a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. One who has professed faith in Jesus Christ. That's what we have here. We have one brother who is like that and another brother who is like that. Both have made professions of faith. This is the illustration that John is giving. And they both profess faith in Jesus Christ. They both claim to be children of God. And John says, if any brother or any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. We'll come back to the phrase sin, a sin which is not unto death, in just a moment. He says, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. The point that I want to make here as we look at this first phrase is that John here, he speaks here of one who sins a sin that is not unto death. And then later on, he speaks about that of the sin unto death. And so we have two categories here that are being spoken of here. Now, I want you to just listen with me, if you will, to two later translations of this. In the New American Standard Translation, it translates it in this manner. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. What I want to draw your attention to in that translation is that of the phrase committing a sin not leading to death. And the focus is that on leading to death. And not leading to death, or leading unto death. The English Standard Version translates in this manner, if anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. Now, my point here is to give you a little bit more detail about that of the sin that John here is talking about. It's a sin that leads or is going forward. The direction is that of not unto death in one case, but in another case it is in the direction towards that of death. So the $100 questions are, first of all, what does John mean by that of a sin that does not lead to death and a sin that does lead to death? I know you all are sitting there on your pins and needles wanting to know what the answer is. All right, let's take up the first phrase here. The sin that is not unto death. John, in chapter 2 and in verse 1, he wrote, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." John here, as he writes this, he writes and he exhorts us not to sin. He says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." He encourages this. He calls upon those to whom he's writing to. And it would be the same for us today. But you know that he goes on to say, he doesn't stop there. He says, "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Beloved, as we note what John here says, John here, when he says, "Little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not," he didn't believe in any way, shape, or form that the ones to whom he was writing to, that they would not commit sins. He knew there would be times when they would commit sins, when they would sin. Just like in our case today, we who are the professing children of God, there are times when we do those things that are not according to that of God's will. We sin against God. We're sinners, and the difference is the grace of God. So John knew that there would be times when those who are the children of God, and even himself, that there would be that of going off the path, not doing those things that are pleasing. And maybe times when those things would happen, not just once, but more than once. As we come back to that of our text, what John here is dealing with in the first part is that of a brother who has sinned and maybe is involved in that sin. It's something that is a recurring thing for him. And the prayer here, we ask the question, what is he to pray for? John doesn't really tell us, does he? He doesn't really tell us how that we are to pray. But beloved, I believe that we can say from that of the remaining part of the Scriptures that the prayer should be that God would be pleased to bring that individual whereby they might see their sin and repent and come back to the way. And John says here, he says, if any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, or a sin which is does not lead to death, he shall ask and he shall give him life. In other words, John here is telling us that we're to pray for that of our sinning brother, that of our sister who has sinned, who is involved in perhaps something that they ought not to be in. But you'll also note here, beloved, as we look at that of the illustration that John gives here, it's not that of where one is looking for sin. No, beloved, what John here tells us here is if any man see his brother sin of sin. And so that would imply or would indicate, beloved, that the sin is something that is visible. Something that is visible. He says he shall ask. That is the brother. He shall ask. Ask who? Ask God. And he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. What is John saying here? Well, as we look at the context, John has already spoken about that of prayer in general. Praying according to that of God's will. I ask you, first of all, is it God's will for that of a child of God to go out of the way? No. What is God's will? It's that of God's will is that we would live and do His commandments and obey Him. Is it not?
Amen.
And so John here is dealing with a situation in the first part here of that of an erring brother and a brother seeing, not looking, not doing an interrogation, but seeing because it's right out in the open. And that brother praying to God for him or her. Now you say, okay, Brother Steve, what's your answer to the next one? He says, if a man sees his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them to sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Well, first of all, I think we have to ask the question, a couple questions. John says, with regards to the brother who has erred and the other brother who prays for him, that he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. The word life there. What does John mean by life there? And then in the next one, he speaks of that of a sin which is unto death. What does John mean by death there? Well, if we look at the epistle as a whole, John, when he uses that of the word life in the epistle, for the most part, we could say for the whole part, he's speaking of that of life as far as that of eternal life. As far as that of death, he's speaking with regards to death that would be that of eternal death. So as we come upon this second phrase here, beloved, the idea here is that this one who sins a sin unto death, it is that of eternal death that is being spoken of here. Now, John doesn't give us any details, does he? But I ask you a question. I want you to think about it for just a second. Would John have written something like this to his audience without explaining what he said, what was writing about, if they did not understand what he was writing about? Don't you think that John would have explained, that he would have given details had those to whom he was writing to didn't know what he was talking about? I believe the answer, beloved, to that of the question here is found right here in the epistle. John, all along in this epistle, he has been making a distinction, has he not? He has been making a distinction between those who are in the community, the professing community of believers, and those who are not. And in particular, beloved, John has focused in upon these ones who had been in that of the professing community, and who had departed from that professing community. If you know, over in chapter 2 and in verse number 19, he writes, "They went out from us." Who? Well, let's back up to verse 18. "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists whereby we know that it is the last time." The context of that of the statement in verse number 19 is that of John speaking about the Antichrist. Note, plural. Beloved, he wasn't speaking of the Antichrist that were out in the world. Because they are out in the world. But beloved, he was speaking about the Antichrist who had been in that of the very midst. For these ones whom he speaks of here in verse number 19 are ones who went out from them. They went out from us, he says, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Beloved, he speaks of a specific group of individuals here. These ones were ones who were anti-Christ. They were against Christ. And no doubt, they had been professing believers. Ones whom had most likely been called brothers and sisters. But these very ones who had been called brothers and sisters in Christ, they rejected the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Even though they had professed faith, they rejected Him and went out from them. They departed. And beloved, they not only departed from that of the professing people of God, they departed from the faith. What did they do? when they did that. These ones who went out from them, what did they do? They rejected Jesus Christ, didn't they? Not only did they reject Jesus Christ, but they rejected, beloved, that of the record of God. Is that not what John told us back in chapter 5? John says, and in so doing, they made God a liar. If you look back over in chapter 4 or chapter 5, he writes in verse 6, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." Come on down to verse 9. "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." These individuals, they were on the path, beloved. They had sinned. Yes, they had sinned in the rejection of Jesus Christ. They knew, they had heard the message, and had outwardly said, "Yes, we believe it." But then they rejected it and departed. And in so doing, beloved, they were making God a liar. They were on the path that leads to death, destruction. It says, "There is a sin and a death. I do not say that he shall pray for it." Now, I'm going to tell you that there's other views on this. Some believe it's the unpardonable sin, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And there are several other different views. But beloved, I believe that we have the answer right here in the epistle. Right here in the context. John here is referring to those who had left and who had rejected the gospel truth. And you note what he says. He says, "I do not say that he shall pray for it." Now, John's not saying not to pray, but he's not saying that they ought to pray. Whereas in the first case, he says, "If any man see his brother sin, sin which is not unto death, he shall ask." He shall ask. I'm told that this is not a command. And yet, it is. Because of the way of that of the language. Love would constrain us to pray for our brother whom we see is sinning. "There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it." Are they without hope? If they continue on that path, they are. Then he says, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." We ask the question, why does John bring this up after having said what he said? All unrighteousness is sin. This is another definition of sin, we could say. But I believe that what John here is telling us is that sin is serious. All unrighteousness is sin. And all sin is serious. Whatever it is. And then he says there is a sin not unto death. Real quick, just a few thoughts in closing. We can have assurance of our prayers being answered. As we pray according to His will, He hears us and He grants that of our petitions. Prayer is not to be selfish. We titled our message Intercessory Prayer. And what we have here in that of verses, in that of verse 16, is an illustration of intercessory prayer, praying for that of another. Do we pray for each other? Do we pray for our brothers and sisters? We are sinners saved by grace. Beloved, if there is ever a passage here, it's this passage, beloved. We need God's grace. And not just in the beginning. Grace to repent of our sins. Not just in the beginning, but beloved, all throughout our life. There is a path which leads to death. It's the path of rejection of the gospel. Have you received God's message by faith? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Intercessory prayer. Remember in Genesis, I'm not sure what chapter, we have Abraham interceding on behalf of a city. And he's speaking to the Lord because the Lord's right there beside him. And he said, Lord, if there's 50 righteous, will you destroy the city? And you note he goes down. He goes all the way down to 10. Beloved, as he does, as he gets up closer to that of 10, beloved, he acknowledges, you know, the fact about what he is. He's nothing but dust and ashes. But you see Abraham interceding, praying to the Lord there, interceding on behalf of a people. All right, let's stand. On the back of your hymn or your bulletin, there's an old hymn that we want to sing in closing. Look to the Lamb of God. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone service at 4 o'clock. We'll be back and we'll be looking at that of the next two verses there in that of 1 John chapter 5. So we are getting close to the end, believe it or not. We're going to ask Brother Don to give us a closing word of prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise You for the salvation we have in Christ Jesus, that He has atoned for our sin. That You're satisfied with all that He has done in our behalf. Lord, we do praise You for this. Lord, may Your grace be extended to each of us richly. Lord, may we be careful to pray for others, Lord, to have mercy, to be forgiving as you have forgiven us. Lord, may thy Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, fill each of us, and may we be made more like him in every way. Father, do bless, we pray, your word here to our hearts. Lord, may each of us be warned of the seriousness of sin. Lord, may thy Spirit impress these things upon us. Lord, may we take it seriously and truly then be warned and turn from any sin, Lord, and not have anything like that rule over us. Father, we do pray that you would bless now our parting as we disassemble. Lord, may we go with thy blessing. Lead and guide us, we pray. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We bless you.
Good message, Rusty. Yeah, that's a difficult passage. It's one of those passages I always read. I don't know what all that means.
Well, when you're going through scripture, like I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
You have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, right. In one way to say I don't know what it means. Yeah. And that's legit.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's the good thing about verse by verse exposition.
Tried to take off and put in, I guess they self-schedule, but then there's no schedule.